fantastic job, and we're excited about their ministry over there. They're doing just a great, great job. Real quickly, well, not real quickly, but quickly as I can, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to help me with some answers. Hopefully, you can give me some relatively quick answers. Now, understand, I know we're in Sunday school. You don't have to dream up a Sunday school answer, okay? I know we got a lot of people in here, and I know you're going to want to say Jesus automatically. But I want to know, in your lives, I want you to tell me, and you can raise your hand, shout it out, I don't care what you do, but I need to know what brings you personally, what brings you joy, what makes you happy, what can you tell me, and I just need a few of them, what makes you have joy? Can you raise up a hand, tell me, give me an example, yes. Helping others, very good. Brenda. Love of my family, yes. Larry Brummett. When you fill your bus, amen, amen. You're joyful a lot. Yes? Very good. Working on the flower beds. I like that. Josh? Amen. And let me tell you something. Cracker Barrel has joy. That's right. That's right. Cracker Barrel likes you to come, too. I'm going to tell you that right now. You should see him order. I'm going to tell you. They have big smiles. Yes. Marie? Yes. Very good. Very good. Anyone else? Deb? I'm not going to say that one out loud. Thank you very much. Brother Bob, watching your girls grow in the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. We almost like to have them in the school, too. Brother Tom.
This sounds a little pious, but just seeing God work, we preach the word, and people responding to it and coming to Christ.
Amen, amen. Very, very good, very good. Linda.
Seeing my grandchildren.
Yes, very good. Seeing your grandchildren. Yes. Amen. Well, say that afterwards. I'd like to hear a beautiful sermon and great preaching afterwards. That'd be good. Yes. Brother Coolidge.
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible. Very, very good. Sam.
Youth activities.
Going to youth activities. Woohoo! Yes. Yes, yes. Even crazy ones. Brother Bill. That is. Now that's awesome. I like that. Yes, sir. Four generations. Yes. Yes. Marty. Yes, amen, amen. Yeah, he does love you. It is, he does love you, no doubt about that. Yes, Amanda. A day off of school. And she's homeschooled. You all thought Debbie was sweet and kind. She's homeschooled, can't get a day off. Amen. Brother Rod.
Leading someone to the Lord.
Leading someone to the Lord, amen, amen. No greater joy than that. Yes. The promise of heaven. That's awesome. Yes.
Finding a cheap gas station.
Hey, hey. Hey, we got somebody that's honest. Finding a cheap gas station. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Brian.
Knowing that my mother and my loved ones recently lost here are in heaven.
Amen. Yes, sir. I like that. I like that. All right. Anything else? Very good. Now, listen. Those are a lot of things that bring joy to our life. And I'm just going to add a few. You know, I love to be with my kids. I love to watch them grow up. Good Lord, Natalie is 13, if you can believe that. I got a teenage daughter. The rest of my life is downhill from here. So, I mean, I've dealt with teenagers pretty much since I've been here. And, man, I can't believe I don't have gray hair yet. But I'm going to tell you, it's exciting to watch them grow up. It's exciting to see Lukey, 50 pounds at 4 years old. It's exciting to watch these kids and our teenagers too. I don't know if you've noticed, but our teenagers have grown up, and it's amazing to watch them from little kids. I mean, to grow up real big and tall, and except for Liz, and we really want them to. It's exciting to watch them grow up, and those are some of the things that bring us joy. And it's good to have joy. And I'm telling you, it's good to have things like Cracker Barrel, being excited about that. It's good to have things like that. It's good to know that there may be a cheap gas station out there someday. And it's good to know that, by the way, did you ever think for 1 minute, if you found a gas station right now today was $3, you'd beat feet out of here real quick. Did you ever think there'd be a day that you'd beat feet for $3 at the gas pump? Man, that's crazy. But anyways, we'll still drive no matter what. But one of the things that I want to talk about is what is the Lord's joy? What makes him happy? And I'm not asking for hands now. I'm going to tell you what makes him happy. Okay? I got Bible for that. But what makes the Lord happy? It's kind of different, you know, and one of the things that makes the Lord the happiest is one of the things that makes me the happiest. And I want to show you one of these things right here. Turn to John 15 real quick. Turn to John 15. If you look in John 15, start in chapter 9, or verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Listen to this next verse. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I commanded you. Understand, I know that we fall well short of doing what Jesus has commanded us to do. It's impossible, I believe, in human form, to do all the things that Jesus has asked us to do. And in this day and age, it's getting even harder. But that doesn't mean we ought to not try to do what Jesus has asked us to do and try to aspire to do more things that Jesus has asked us to do. But in this part, what is his joy? And I like this. I think this is right. His joy is that his joy remains our joy. Now listen to that. His joy, I believe he gets joy knowing that his joy remains our joy. Now, I know that we have a lot of things that give us joy, a lot of things that make us happy, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with having those things. But if you look at what the Lord has, the Lord says, my joy, if you want to know what my joy is, what makes the Lord happy is that you're happy. And that you're happy with his happiness. You're happy with the joy that he has already given you. It's tough in these days and age to be happy. I'm telling you right now, they're doling out antidepressants like it's gumballs. And I'm not against you if you're on them. Depression is very, very real. It's easy to preach you ought not be depressed until you become depressed. See, what you got to understand, folks, is this. Jesus has given us a formula for staying happy. But it's difficult sometimes to understand how you stay in that formula. It's difficult sometimes understanding that, you know what you got to do, Brother Mark? You've got to be involved with what the Lord would like you to be involved in to find joy. You've got to keep his commandments to find his joy, because the Bible said that was his joy. Keep his commandments. And if you do those things, I'm your friend. Now, some of his commandments are, you know, you got the Ten Commandments and those things. But I think the most thing that he would like you to do, and I've been preaching this now for a while, is to love one another. You might say, well, Brother Dave, you're a Baptist preacher. You ought to be preaching something hateful. Baptist preachers don't have to preach hateful. Baptist preachers don't have to preach mean. The Lord wasn't mean. Now, let me tell you something. We're going to talk about sin later on in the morning, okay? But know this. The Lord desires you to love somebody. He desires that. He wants you to love one another. He wants you to care about one another. I was telling the teenagers last Wednesday, not this last, but the one before that, I want this to be a place. I want the teen class to be a place where you don't have to worry about what you look like, smell like. I don't have to worry about what you feel like when you come here. I don't have to worry about what you've been in or what you're going to be in. All I worry about is there a place that you can come and be happy. Do you know church ought to be that place? I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got to bite your nails and you got to wipe sweat off your brow to walk in this church building, start loving somebody. It's crazy that you feel that way. You say, well, man, I don't know. If Brother Josh Sells doesn't like me, I don't know how I'm going to come to church. Here's what you do. Go to Cracker Barrel and wipe the smell of Cracker Barrel all over you and then give him a hug. He'll forget all about you. Let me tell you something. We live in a day and age where there's hardly anyone that cares. You get out of here one time and see how many people care about you.
That's right.
okay? We live in a day and age where hardly anybody cares. I would dare say, Brother Coolidge, you found great joy in being with the Christian people and getting to minister to them and getting to have fun with them. I'm going to be honest with you, and this might sound bad. I don't want to be with anybody else but you. Listen to me when I tell you that. I don't want to be with anybody else but my friends. I don't want to be with anybody else that's outside of this church. You might say, well, you ought to be with the lost people too. I trust me, the lost people come. But if I'm going to sit down and have a dinner, if I'm going to sit down, I want to be with people that I love and people that care about me too. Amen. And this ought to be a place. Understand, in this church, if you've got something against somebody else, you're a fool. Because this is the one place you can come where people love you and care about you. And if you want to have that joy, if you want to have joy inside your life, you better get something right with God. You better get something right with God because He's commanded you to love one another. He's commanded you to care about one another. And I believe if you don't, you are sinning. You can say what you want to say. Drinking's a sin. Amen, it is. But so is not caring for people. That's a sin. And I got to be honest with you. I think we got more people that disobey God there and disobey God in helping people and disobey God for caring about each other. I believe we've got more people that are partaking in that sin than we have in any other people and all across our churches. We've lost the love inside of our churches. And because we've lost that love, you don't have joy. That's the bottom line. You don't have joy because you've lost that love and care for people. His joy is that His joy remains our joy. And His joy is that we love one another. Next thing, look at Luke 15. I like this. Luke 15. If you're having a hard time finding it, it's right next to Luke 16. I love this. What's another thing that's the Lord's joy? Luke 15, verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what his joy is? Watching somebody get saved. I'm going to tell you right now. You say, well, Brother Dave, I've been praying for that lost loved one. I've been praying for that person for a long time. They just won't get saved. I got news for you. Keep praying. Don't ever stop praying because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that I've seen get saved that I thought there's no way in the world they're going to get saved. I've seen a lot of people that have prayed for loved ones and prayed for people that have had a hard time in life and prayed for people that have made a lot of mistakes in life. And what's sad is we see a lot of people that make mistakes in life. We see a lot of people that have been jailed in the past. We see a lot of people that have been drug addicts in the past. We see a lot of people that have been alcoholics in the past and all these other things that they've been in the past, yet we write them off because of what they've done. What happens is we lose the mirrors in our home. That's good stuff right there. I may sign my own Bible after that. What happens is we forget where we are from. Do you know you can never be a youth pastor until you know where you're from? Think about that for a minute. Why is that, Brother Dave? Because you get to see the people who you once were. You get to see the teenagers make mistakes that you made. Your big deal is you didn't get caught doing them. Amen. Ain't no amens there, is there? Ha-ha. Yeah. See, Brother Dave knows that I've been where they are. I've done the bad things. Most of these kids can't even touch the things that I've done in my life. Yet the Lord used me. The Lord's crazy sometimes. I don't know what he was thinking. But know this. He desires to see people get saved. And it doesn't matter where they've been. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter. We are crazy here in the church. We think that if a person doesn't have a haircut, they can't get saved. We think if a person doesn't come with a tie on, they can't get saved. We think that if a person doesn't come all cleaned up, they can't get saved. The Lord doesn't work on the outside first. Amen. He does not work on the outside first. He works on the inside. And that's none of your business. Amen. Remember, I told you that. The inside of a person's heart is none of your business. That's God's business. I love people all the time. That, well, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. I want one time for you to not think higher of yourself than you ought to think and realize that the Lord did all those things through you. You didn't do any of them. I think sometimes we as churches miss the boat. I want people to come in dressed halfway. You say, well, Brother Dave, that's crazy. Is it? Let me tell you something. I pick on him all the time. I love him with all my heart. Andrew, right there. When he came here, I wanted him to stay. I wanted him to be here. Man, he had hair look crazy. It was crazy. He looked like Varejao from the Cleveland Cavs. And he thought that was cool, by the way. But let me tell you something. It was a wild thing. He was. But I wanted him to stay because I knew that the Lord, let me tell you something. You say, well, Brother Dave, not everybody that comes in here will do that. No, not everybody. But let me tell you something. How many people have we rushed out the door because we won't go and shake their hand? We won't tell them we care about them. We won't tell them that this is a place that you can come where you're cared about. We won't tell them those things because we don't want them to stay. You don't fit in our social group. That's why you don't have joy. You don't have joy because you won't wait around to see somebody get their life cleaned up. You don't have joy because you won't wait around to love somebody through the time that they're going through right now so you can see them on the other side. You know why? Because you forgot what time you went through, that somebody helped you through to get through to the other side. Did you know that everybody goes through this? Every single person at one time or another looks at somebody else and says, man, alive, good night. There's just something that the Lord can't do anything with that person. Let me tell you something. The Lord can do everything with that person. There's not one that the Lord can't help. The thing that we've got to understand is this. How in the world are people going to know unless they're told? How are they going to find out unless they're told about our wonderful Savior? How are they going to find out unless they're brought or explained that there's love here? Do you know that people desire to be loved? Did you know that you desire to be loved? You desire to be cared about? There's people in here that said their joy was their family. I've got news for you. I preached a message several weeks ago about the family. This is a family here. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We should treat each other as a family. Not maybe as your family at home where you beat each other up just before you come to church. I'm talking about your family. Where is there a time when you cared about your family this week? I love to hear the stories about people taking each other out to dinner, trying to get to know each other on a personal basis to where they can say more along the lines, well, I know Brother Tom more than just a handshake. A family reunion every once in a while. That brings great joy to the Lord, watching people get together, watching people know those things. And then when you see those things, how great would it be to have more than one person praying for that lost loved one? How would it be to have more than one person praying that soul winning would go well on Saturdays? How would it be if we had more than one person praying for the people that have not been in our church for a while? How would it be if we lived in a place where we cared about each other enough that we desire to see people get one to Christ? We desire to see souls get saved. We desire with wet eyes to see people knowing that they're lost, get saved, and come to a great realization that this is a place where they can find love. How would that be? I want you to picture that lost loved one in your mind right now. And I know everybody's got one. I've got several lost loved ones I've been praying for a long time. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've witnessed every one of them. I've told them about Christ. Every one of them blew me off except one that said they got saved. I don't think they did. But that's none of my business. Understand this. I'm praying for them all the time because they're living lives, oh man, that might not be so good. But understand this, when they come through on the other side, what kind of a Christian is going to be standing here? Listen to me. What kind of a Christian will be standing here remembering what the lost person was here? He would say, what are you talking about? Where much is forgiven, there is much love. If they remember, and if you remember, what kind of a person you were, what kind of a person that you used to live your life as. I'm going to tell you right now, I was halfway to a drunkard at 15, 16 years old. The Lord had no right to use me. There's no way. If you go back and you think about the way you used to be, there's no way God uses you. But the Lord brought me out of all that craziness. And it's amazing how much that gets brought back to me, how much I see my past and desire to help people that have thy same past. I wonder how much the Lord would use your lost loved one if they got saved. We should keep praying for them. And we should keep praying that they'll get saved. And we should pray for each other's lost loved ones. We should care. We really, really should care. I'm going to tell you right now, great things are happening at Bethel Baptist Church. But understand this. There's no better thing that could happen here than making a place where people are getting saved and people are getting loved. We desire people to get saved. But after they get saved, they've got to have a place where they can be cared about. It's not enough just to win them to the Lord. It's not enough. We've got to lead them to a place where they can be loved and cared about. That's a great joy of Christ. Two things. Third thing, I like this. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I have been battling all my life over finances. And I don't know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I would think that just about everybody in here would raise their hands to this. But I have had trouble all my life with trying to get ahead, you know, just trying to make the ends meet. My ends have been 20 miles apart ever since I was born. I'm trying, but it seems like the longer I drag this end this way, that end goes running away from me. And I find great joy. I don't know about you, and maybe you don't, but I find great joy in paying my bills or trying to keep up and pay my bills. Nobody likes the debtors to call. Man, they are mean. I'm glad you've never had a debtor call. I've had debtors that have my number on speed dial. Yes, Dave Ballard, you're not paying your bill. Thank you very much. Didn't know that. I love being able to write that check out. You say, man, wouldn't you like to have money left over? I don't know what that would be. Never had money left over, so I don't know what it'd be like. I might as well not know. I love writing that check or sending that payment knowing that my bill is paid. I find great joy in having weight off my shoulders of finances. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a man, understand this. I'd have to venture a bet. I don't bet, though. I'd have to venture a bet that I bet 80-90% of the problems that men face are finance-related. Think about that. I bet you that's right. I don't know. I don't have any statistics. But most of the people that I've talked to throughout the years, man, Brother Dave, I just can't get my bills paid. Now, understand, I'm fully aware that men put themselves in that position the vast majority of the time. The vast majority of the time, we've made our own bills. Okay? Most of the time, we've put ourselves in that predicament, and that makes it worse.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You think, well, that ought to make it better. Nope. You did it, dummy. I've called myself dummy over it a million times. I know all about being dumb. But understand this. It doesn't take the bill away. It doesn't take the pressure away knowing that you were dumb. It adds that pressure on. And I'm telling you right now, there's no greater. If I could have a $10,000 bill sitting in my hand right now, I promise you, after giving $1,000 to the church, I'd be giving the $9,000 to my creditors. Might not be nine. Might not be that much. Been doing good. But understand this. I would feel great joy in being able to pay that bill in full. Man, I would find great joy. How would it be if you could take your car payment and light that baby? And I bet you if you could watch the faces of people lighting their car payments, they'd look just like this, too. If you could light your mortgage bill, boy, and you watch that interest on your... I love mortgage bills. They're tremendous. You paid off $3 worth of principal this month. And $972 worth of interest. How is that fair? 30 years amortized loan, you've got to pay a lot of interest to get that thing done. Wouldn't it be great to have a check in your hand to pay off your house payment and burn your mortgage? Ooh! That'd be so great. Great joy you would have being able to pay your bills. I wanted you to see something. I love this verse. Never saw it like this until just about 2 weeks ago, and I want you to see this verse with me. Chapter 12 in Hebrews, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen to this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look at these next words. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set, are you kidding me? Just when you think God can't get any greater, the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy? What's the joy in that? This is so good. Just like I enjoy paying my bills, the Lord enjoys paying my bills.
Amen.
The joy that was set before him is a simple fact that he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that you had a bill that you could not pay. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt you couldn't make payments. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt you couldn't even handle the interest. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that no one was worthy even to come to the creditor with your check. There's nothing you could do on this earth that could help you get out of the predicament that you were in. And the Lord looked down and he saw Josh Sells. He said, Josh Sells can't pay that bill. There's no way he can pay that bill. I will have great joy in helping Josh pay his bill. He knew Tom Saylor couldn't pay the bill, so he looked down and said, I've got great joy in knowing I can pay his bill. He looked down and saw Dale Robinson. Dale, I know you can't pay that bill, but I've got a plan. I've got a plan. I've got a plan that can take care of all your bills. He looks out and he says, that gives me great joy. He looked down at a sin-sick, pathetic, worthless world and saw joy. He looked down at dirty dogs. Dirty dogs. You are a dirty dog. What is our righteousness? It's even as filthy rags. We are worthless. You wouldn't even use yourself on your car to dry it off. And the Lord looked down and said, I've got great joy in what I'm about to do. I've got great joy. It wasn't he went down half-heartedly. It wasn't he went down because he was the only one. He went down because he wanted to. He went down because he loved to. He went down because it gave him joy to go. He went down because it made him happy. It behooved him to suffer. It didn't just behoove him. He was thrilled. I can't grasp that. I can't grasp that. I wouldn't die for Josh Sells. Think about that for a minute. I love Josh. Man, what a great, he works hard. He's built that bus ministry doing a great job. I wouldn't die for him. I'm going to tell you right now, you wouldn't either. And what's funny is we wouldn't die for the good people. We wouldn't die for the good ones, Brother Rod. I wouldn't die for good people. But the Lord said, not only am I going to die for the wretches, not only am I going to die for the worms, not only am I going to die for the dirty dogs, not only am I going to die for the people that don't care about me, not only am I going to die for the very people that are going to hang me on the cross, not only am I going to die for the people that are going to whip my back, not only am I going to die for the people that are going to scourge me and pluck out my beard, call me names, and embarrass me in front of everyone, not only am I going to die for them, I'm going to be happy to do it. I'm going to be thrilled. I want you to read that verse with me one more time. Read that verse for me one more time. This is crazy. This is awesome. If there's anything in the scripture, this is awesome here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, we are that joy. We are the ones that the Lord cared about. We are the ones he died for. We're the ones he loved. We are a room full of redeemed. And not just redeemed. Dirty, rotten, redeemed. Not just dirty, rotten, low down, scoundrel, mean, no good. And he loved you and had great joy in paying your debt. That was not his debt. Jesus did not have to come. See, he had angels he could save. He had angels he could save. He could have died for them. He could have went down and said, Satan, you can't have them. Boom, punch him in the nose, take the angels back. He could have died for them. They would have been worth more in my eyes. But I'm so thankful my eyes don't count. Because I'm going to tell you right now, in the Lord's eyes, they weren't worth it. In the Lord's eyes, you were worth it. You put your name in there. You were worth it. And not only were you worth it, because you don't understand something. He didn't count this as hard. He counted this as joy. He counted this as joy. He was happy to do it. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be able to speak to him. I know you all have these sentences that you've got worked out to where you're going to be able to speak to Jesus. I don't know what to say. Does thank you get it? Does I appreciate that get it? Does, gee, Lord, that sure was great. Does that get it? I'm hoping that when he opens up the rest of the 90% of our brains that we do not use, some of us more, I'm hoping that he gives us a word or a phrase when we get there that will capture the fact that his joy was paying our debt. His joy was paying our debt. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity that it was to stand here this morning. Lord, I believe that I've got a room full of people that understand that they're not worthy of heaven. But Lord, it's more than not being worthy. It's more than that. You were happy. You were happy to suffer. It gave you joy to hang there. It gave you joy to be ridiculed. It gave you joy to be mocked. It gave you joy to be scourged. Lord, I'll never grasp that. Not only were you the only one, you loved it. And it gave you great joy to make a way for a dirty old wretch like Dave Ballard to go to heaven. I'll never understand it. I'll never understand that. But Lord, I'm sure thankful that you do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I know that Sunday school's over. But you know what? It's very important that you understand. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, he would love and be joyed today for you to get saved right now. Well, Brother Dave, we don't have invitation until after church. Hogwash is independent fundamental. We do whatever we want to here. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe with my heart that there might be a lost one here. And Jesus died and loved doing it just for your dirty old rotten carcass. And I'm a dirty old rotten carcass too. Don't think I'm calling you out. But the Lord loves you, and he wants to have that joy ring out through heaven that one more came. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven when you die, put up those hands real big and tall. Put them up big and tall that you know for sure you're going to heaven. You may put them down. I saw a few, and I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord knows your heart too. And the Lord desires you to come to a knowledge of him today. He would be thrilled to see some get saved in the Sunday school hour today. If you don't know 100% sure that you're going to heaven, I'm relatively certain you're not going there. And you've got to know. There's got to be a time where you accept the Lord as your Savior, or you're going to go to hell and burn forever. And that would grieve Jesus very badly. It would grieve him to know that his joy was for naught. Not his work, his joy. He loved doing it. Could you raise your hand with me right now and say, you know what, Brother Dave, I don't know. I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven when I die, and I need to get it settled right now. I need to get it settled. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? Put them up right now. I see one. Is there more? Is there more? Is there more? I see one. You may put it down. I see more. Is there more? Come on. Don't waste time. Don't go to hell for anybody. Don't go to hell because you're embarrassed. You get saved today so you know you're going to heaven. Don't wait. Is there another? I know there's people waiting out in the foyer. They're going to wait. I need a piano player. Get me one right now. I need a piano player. We're not going to mess around. This is right now. Let's all stand for a minute. The piano's going to play softly. We're going to keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I want you to do this. I want you to pray that if there's lost ones in here, that they will come to a saving knowledge of Him right now. That they'll come right now. So keep the doors closed. That's all right. You can come in, but keep the doors closed. I want you to know that there's a church and there's a place that cares about you and loves you. There's a Savior that died for you because He loved you and found great joy in doing so. Don't wait to accept Him. While the piano plays softly, if you raised your hand and you said, you know what, I don't know, would you please come? I've got people right here in the front that will show you how to get to heaven. Would you please come? Please don't wait. Please come. I'm begging you to come. The Lord's begging you to come. Please come. Don't wait. Get it settled right now. I know it's hard, but I promise you, there'll be people that'll take the steps with you. Just take that first step. The Lord will take the rest. The Lord will take the rest. Just take that first step. That's right. Just take the first step. That's right. Just take the first step. Brother Mark, could you take this gentleman in the back? Thank you so much. The Lord will take the rest of the steps. Could you take this gentleman in the back? Amen. Amen. That's so exciting. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord desires to see people get saved. The Lord desires with great joy to see people get saved. And He wants His joy to be your joy and remain in you. You should be excited and happy that someone walked the aisle today. That is great joy. Dear Lord, I thank You so much. I thank You so much that You died for each and every one of us that are in here today. I thank You so much that later on we're going to have those baptismal waters stirred. And I thank You watching the church go through some great changes and going through some great things and getting excited about You. But Lord, Your joy is that one walked the aisle today and is going to get saved. Your joy is that we love one another. Your joy, Lord, is that You paid our sin debt. That's Your joy. Lord, please make Your joy our joy, and let Your joy remain our joy for the rest of our lives. Thank You, Lord, for a great church. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take about a 5-minute break.